Hello, and welcome to A Marvelous Lunch Break. On today's show, we're discussing The Wolverine. And if you're wondering whether it's better than the last one, well, let me ask you, does a bear shit in the woods? You can't ask it, it's dead, unfortunately. Anyway, meanwhile, Wolverine's World War antics give him present-day problems as he's whisked off to Japan to save the princess or something. And Logan misinterprets Jean Grey's request to just stick it in her.
Oh.
All this and more on today's A Marvelous Lunch Break. The themes before. And every time you do that, you get it wrong. It sounds nothing like the actual
theme. And
I commissioned
it, so you'd think I'd know.
I like mine's version.
Joining me today, as always, if you've not already heard them, is Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison.
Hello.
And, of course, as always, Agent Martin Carter.
Hey.
How are you both doing?
Great.
Good.
Surprisingly.
I'm ready to get this over with.
Perfect. Let's steam ahead then. Hello, as well, to all our new listeners from around the world. If this is the first time you're tuning in, or if you're back for more, do note there are spoilers in this podcast. If you're listening to us, please remember to review it, subscribe it, so you can get more of this in your ears every single fortnight. Also, follow us on our kind of still new Instagram.
Yep.
Martin, what's the details on that?
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Cool. Great. Concise. We're very to the point today. I like it. No chat. That's what we're here to give people.
Should we just do stay and go now and then just turn off the podcast?
No conversation. This movie stays. Do you think it stays or goes for you?
Why are we jumping
in? Let's actually do it now.
Wow.
What we're going to do it at the beginning.
Let's give the preview. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do the whole pod in reverse.
But if we say it now, then...
Yeah, like, we don't. There's no suspense.
Yeah, who would bother?
But what if you change your opinion? That's happened before.
I convinced you two to get rid of Strange. Did I not?
Yeah, I think you did, actually.
I think there could be some changing of opinions in this one, you know.
I am so open to you changing my opinion about it. I feel it's not going to happen. I'm usually the optimist.
Okay. We're getting bad vibes.
I think unless a giant CGI silver samurai comes in and starts swishing his big blade around, my opinion will not change.
Wow. Whoa.
wow.
Well, let's leave that in the last episode. We are back on the ball today, listeners, with season two. We have been watching The Wolverine. So this is the fifth movie in the X-Men
XU.
Universe, the zoo. And wait, well, I can't wait to talk about it. But first off, if you've not seen it, we're going to hit you with a little 1 minute roundup of the movie. Anna, last time out, last time out it was me and Martin and we both crushed your time. And then the time before that, X3, I seem to remember, Wolverine Origins.
I seem to remember you've messed it.
And if you could keep the time, because it's really hard for me to edit it down to a minute for Instagram.
Oh, right, I see.
So if anything, think of me.
I'm making your life more difficult, Barton.
Right, okay.
Okay,
so,
okay.
All I'll say is don't get too close to the mic. Okay. We don't want to be giving anyone a headache, okay? Just make sure you sat right in front of it. Stay calm. I'm going to get a timer up. We're going to give you 1 minute. Are you ready?
I'm poised and ready to record this, so you can watch this over on Instagram. And we'll also post the script, which I forgot to do for last week's podcast, so I'll do that soon.
So hopefully you can play before this podcast.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Oh, great. Okay, Anna, are you ready?
I'm ready.
One last sip of water or something?
Nah, let's pair on.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Go.
Flashback slash dream sequence. POW Wolverine saves Nagasaki soldier from a nuclear bomb, then wakes up in bed with ghostly Jean Grey before, bam, stabbing her in the stomach and waking up for real. Awake Logan is living rough in Canada, but after some bear euthanasia, he's off to Tokyo with sprightly seer Yukio. Now in Japan, Logan is offered the sweet gift of death by the Nagasaki soldier, now a tech giant granddaddy dying of old age. Logan's not interested, but while he dreams of Jean's soldier granddaddy snuffs it, and at his funeral, granddaughter Mariko is almost kidnapped by the Yakuza, and Logan shows off his slashy skills. With help from Japanese Hawkeye, Logan and Mariko make it to the bullet train where Logan's healing powers aren't working too well. Dude, I'm bad. Time for a ridiculous high-speed train top battle. Logan victorious, but needs a trip to the vet to get patched up for some X-wheeling flirting in Bone Town with Mariko. But Cuddly Bliss is interrupted by Mariko finally getting successfully kidnapped. Yukio's on the scene to give Logan a ride and incorrectly predict his death. He jumpstarts his Healy powers by yanking out Gross Heart Spider, and after shirtlessly killing Mariko's dad, Logan runs off to save her from Viper, Japanese Hawkeye, and the Foot Clan. But the obvious trap is a trap! And after getting shot full of arrows, Logan battles a silver samurai who, oh, what a surprise, turns out to be the soldier granddaddy. He cuts off Logan's claws and sucks out his Healy power, but Mariko to the rescue! She stabs granddaddy and Logan's bone claws are back to throw the samurai. Oh!
Nowhere even close. You put so many big words in there.
I did. What
was it when you dropped in like sentence one? It was
euthanasia.
Nagasaki.
There was so much.
Just what are you doing to yourself?
I know. That confession, I hadn't successfully done it under a minute.
Well, then why didn't you just like?
Well, because I thought
say less words.
Because usually the adrenaline carries me through. It's definitely happened before where I haven't hit under 60 seconds and still.
You too.
Oh.
Stricken. You've stricken out two in a
very
row.
Very upsetting.
Okay.
So if I strike out three times, does that mean I can't do it anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's Martin's turn.
Oh, no. You've got to do it next time. I don't want to do it. And also, you're reminding me of so many terrible bits in this film.
The train scene. I mean, I'm going to... Right, okay. Disclaimer right now. And then we'll have a snack because I'm desperate over here. But I fell asleep in this movie.
Really?
And I didn't watch the rest.
Dan.
Are you kidding
me? I watched
me?
The rest of the movie, but I didn't go back and watch the bit that I fell asleep through.
Okay. What bit was that?
I don't know. I was asleep. I would say it was maybe like an hour and 10, an hour and 15 in. So I thought you could fill me in with what... I mean, I've seen this movie a bunch of times because you know, it's been out for a while, but...
Well, then the one-minute roundup served its purpose, which is to jumpstart people's... Memories.
Yeah, and I was awake for the train scene, which is just preposterous. Great. But
so did you miss the thing being taken off his heart? Because that was
no, I saw the bit where he got it taken off his heart.
Oh, so what's in between?
Actually, like, I was so enthusiastic about doing that, I've actually snapped my hair tie, and now my braid is coming undone. Sorry, I'm just over here rebraiding.
Well, this is a level of professionalism we bring to the podcasting world.
I'll tell you what, we'll
Dan hasn't seen the film. Dan is falling apart.
This is our niche in the market. This is our absolute selling point to listeners. We don't really know what we're on about. I'll tell you what, while Anna's kind of fixing this disaster over there...
it's just a brain. Right. Is it snack time?
I was going to move to something else, but you know what? I'm not going to deviate snack time any longer, so...
Yes.
Okay. Let's
now it's time
for
the
hit us with this week's snack.
Okay. Should I open this one while you're doing that one?
Yes.
We've got two snacks.
We've got two snacks.
And what is this snack over here?
So that... I'll explain, Dan.
There's three snacks.
There's three snacks. So I was trying to find like Japanese snacks, and we have a really good sort of like Asian supermarket like in town, but they're a little bit thin on the ground for like Japanese, like officially Japanese style things. So, but Pocky, as far as I'm aware, is a Japanese snack. It's like the little like kind of cookie sticks dipped in various flavorings.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
The only ones they had were the strawberry flavored, which are usually not my go-to. And so then I was like, okay, obviously I need something else.
Don't you be looking at mine.
So we've got some strawberry Pocky here for us to enjoy to bring us a little taste of Japan.
I'm in.
Got that to enjoy. And then Martin is opening up.
I can't do it. I put hand cream on about 5 minutes ago. But we used to have a girl in our team who was really mad on Japan. And she left here to live
in Japan
there.
Now, yeah.
And Pocky always reminds me of her because she'd always have a little snack on your desk. So she definitely doesn't listen, but Mariana,
she should listen.
I'm gonna take one of these and
what,
she
you know what?
Her vlog is great.
What I've learned from that colleague co-working experience is, I prefer it to double dip with the Pocky.
Ooh, double Pocky.
Because I think
that's very sweet and very synthetic.
Yeah, so usually with my favorite Pocky is like the white chocolate like Oreo one almost. So because I was then in this Asian supermarket, and there were so many like beautiful, brightly colored treats and confectionery. This is something called Hello Panda, and it is cocoa biscuits with matcha green tea flavored filling. Not Japanese, so apologies.
That's
going to
be horrible.
You don't like matcha?
No. It's going to taste like grass.
What? They're going to be delicious.
Ooh. Okay, I wish you hadn't said that because it does taste a little bit like grass. But it's not bad. And then, in case that we were an adventurous snack people, I've also brought in Oreo Thins, which I'm obsessed with, to, if we're Western.
And I really like how you've got some like really ornate, delicate Japanese treats, and then you're just smashing in with the Americanism, which is this film all over.
Oh, yeah.
Is it not? Do you want to try
Pocky
Panda?
Are delicious. Mm. I'm going to get in on these pandas
grass
as well.
Panda.
Grass panda.
Oh, they even smell like... Oh, that was just...
Mm.
Not into
that
it.
That is absolutely disgusting.
I mean, to be
what little design did your... These have got queen. Little printed designs on them of what the panda's doing on it. This one had... Oh,
mine's
I'm dropping
digested.
It. In my stomach. This one, I think it's like reading a book, maybe.
That is not for me.
This is our ASMR portion.
Oh, you know what these taste like? These taste like what a dried out tea bag smells like.
That's so
like, have
horrible.
One of these and think of dried out tea bag.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
That is exactly.
I don't think these are that bad. I mean, they had.
This is like a handful.
Oh, this
of
one's
them.
Shooting a bow and arrow.
channel like a little tea okay. caddy.
Oh yeah.
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 Dried out tea
right.
bag.
You're absolutely right.
You have to have something to take.
But I'm gonna have another still.
Yeah, I don't think they're that bad.
No, they're all right.
They had very normal flavors as well, but I thought, let's be adventurous. Anyway, there we go. Snack portion. Done and dusted.
Can I have an Oreo Thin, please?
You bet.
Are Oreo Thins in America?
So I don't know if
I'm sure they must be now. Like, they've come about since I've been in the UK, so...
So does anyone remember, like, the Cadbury's Thin Pringle wave?
They were so good.
Where you just eat, like, a tray.
You eat them like they were Pringles.
Oh, well, yeah.
Got, like, the McVitie's one now as well, and I'm just obsessed with the caramel one.
Here we go. Right, Oreo Thin. Oh wow, these are thin. I'm gonna double dip again. I'm gonna take two. Sorry.
You might as well just have an Oreo.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not gonna have them at the same time. Oh, right. I'm gonna take two. I've got a hunger on over here.
All right.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Oreo
snack
thin.
Portion. Done.
Yeah, it's an Oreo. Can confirm.
Bit thin.
But a bit thinner. But still just as delicious.
Yeah.
Because that's my thing. I think Oreos are quite biscuity, which is. I'm not a big fan of because the biscuit is tasteless.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely prefer these to
it's not like a Fox's Golden Crunch where the biscuit itself is delicious.
Oh, yeah. Better than the filling.
Oreo, normal Oreos, and this might be controversial. Please let me know if I'm saying, like, hedonistic words to you now. But the biscuit portion of an Oreo is rather uninspiring.
Yeah.
But the filling... is where it's at.
Mm. The sole purpose of the biscuit seems to be to turn your teeth black, which I'm not into.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Right, well, I'm gonna do the rest of the podcast with my hand over my mouth then.
Okay. Can I do, I'm going to do a Wolverine pose with the pocky. Like
okay.
Dan did
oh,
with
yeah.
the,
you do a little Wolverine.
For that.
Yeah.
Get your braid out.
That looks great. Very stylish.
Because it's pink as well, it looks like someone's made a Wolverine toy for girls. You know, there's kind of like, oh, everything's... if you do a pink version, it's for girls.
That would be a terrible toy.
Okay. We can add that to the Insta along with Dan's breadstick Wolverine.
We'll find one for you eventually.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Wolverine.
Let's get back on track, shall
okay,
we?
Okay,
And let's do a little bit of the cast.
Yep.
Let's... give me big cheers. lots of names that I've never heard of any of these people before this movie. That you know, they clearly act in a genre of movie that I am not really familiar with. So if I do pronounce any of them wrong, I much apologize. But as well, if anyone's got any thoughts, any cheers, or wants any clarifications as to who this character actually was, because I don't remember many names actually being said in the movie.
Likewise.
Then feel free to hit me up. So we've got Logan,
woo!
Played by Hugh Jackman.
Yep, still hasn't managed to gel down the tufts in the back of his hair.
Oh, do you think they're natural tufts?
Definitely not.
Because his grooming scene in this, do you think they go, we're just going to do your hair like we're
doing
I
love the grooming scene, where he kind of just got attacked by wet brushes from like two matrons.
Okay, so we've got Tao Okamoto playing Mariko, who's the
wet
daughter, niece?
Daughter? Granddaughter.
Granddaughter?
Them.
Okay, then we've got Rila Fukushima playing Yukio.
Yeah, also in Game of Thrones, it's one of the Red Priestesses.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've just completed a rewatch of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I have.
Shame you didn't do a podcast about that. we've got Hiroyuki Sanada playing Shinjin, who's like the dad kind of figure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got... Svetlana Kodchenkova playing Viper.
Ugh, no. No, no, no.
Wow, nothing. No, no tidbits
terrible.
For anyone
she
in this movie.
She was terrible.
Okay, we've got Brian T playing Nobu.
Is he the Hawkeye one?
Yeah, he's no, he's like the
fiance.
The bad guy ish.
Okay, yeah, so he's the Secretary of Justice something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was suitably like
horrible.
Yeah.
Fiance.
We've got Hal Yamanuchi, who plays Yoshida, so it's the bad guy of the movie.
So supposedly
they're all bad guys.
End up being the Silver Samurai.
Oh, the granddaddy.
Granddaddy. So he apparently is quite a big name in Japanese cinema, I think. But
we've got Will Yun Lee, who's the brother lover guy, plays Harada.
Oh, Harada, yeah, the Japanese Hawkeye.
Who's her brother?
No.
Her cousin?
No, they're just like, they knew each other growing up.
I thought
they
were related.
Lover?
They
should have been together, but then Mariko
got like
had to go to
an arranged
hang
marriage
out with the Secretary
of State.
So
they did like track and field together.
Yeah, that was it.
And then Famke Janssen as Jean Grey.
Oh.
So they're the only two non-Japanese or non-American.
Other than Viper, Svetlana is Russian.
Yeah, so they're the only three.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is good.
Is she Russian?
Yes.
Cool. That's a really short cast as well, considering what we're used to with Marvel movies now, where it's like we would just be breaking the iceberg of the people who are in the title scene. Yeah. A really sort of condensed cast, and a lot of those people, it was contentious as to whether they were even in that lineup. It seems like there's just a few people in this movie.
Yeah, but also with like really complex relationships between everyone as well. So like the Hawkeye type assassin isn't just an assassin. He's also a childhood romance.
Yeah, and also part of the clan that's meant to protect the family. And there was a lot of...
And then the fiance is not only the Secretary of State and a fiance, but also in cahoots with the father.
Yes.
So like there's a lot of interlocking pieces between these characters, I think.
Really, yeah.
Which made it really hard to keep up for me.
Not to forget, also, so technically, like, Yukio, the seer, she was kind of like a step-sister to Mariko. Like, so she was, like, taken off the street to join the family, but she would never refer to her dad as, like, a stepdad or anything. That just wasn't the relationship. So, yeah, a lot of interesting family dynamics happening in this film.
I mean, you say interesting. I'd say just...
happening.
Cool. Well, I think we've figured out both of your thoughts on the whole of the movie.
Stay or go.
So let me just start off with a question. We started this whole series and I posed a question to you both. I said this should be the theme of season two.
Mm.
And that question was, is Wolverine, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, the greatest portrayal of a superhero ever? And now we're five movies in, we're two Wolverine movies in, he's been in every movie, right? How do you currently feel about that question?
Well, this is the amazing enigma that is the X-Men movies and that is Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, because it's been really bizarre rewatching them in a sense that, like, I still, like, love him and, like, love watching him on the screen. And there's something about him that's so magnetic and mesmerizing. And, like, there was a lot less clothing happening in this film as well, which I really appreciated.
There was more clothing in this movie.
More clothing?
Well, there was more clothing than in Origins in this movie. He was
naked a lot in Origins.
He was quite naked in this. He had a couple of scenes.
Yeah. But
I mean, like, the level of, like, the shirtlessness in this felt like it was on another...
This went to, like, bottomlessness.
Man. I mean, we should talk... But, I mean, even just, like, the veininess, there must be a word for that.
Yeah,
like,
well, I did a bit of reading.
Okay.
And he went on a specific dehydration diet to make his veins and muscles pop even more.
Wow.
He got consultation from Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Amazing.
About how to properly bulk. And it's like...
Damn.
I mean, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a consultant on this film.
Yeah,
that tells you a lot. But I think Arnie might be...
Isn't he like the highest paid...
He's up there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, actor in Hollywood at the minute. Yeah. Like,
he's up there, definitely.
He puts out good movies these days, but early 2010s, maybe questionable.
Mm.
But I think the question isn't, is he the greatest representation... embodiment. I think you're answering a question of, is it the hottest?
Yes, you're right. I definitely went onto a tangent that was very much just objectifying him as a very attractive man. So returning to a more like...
So I'm an admirer of his physique.
Yes. Yeah?
But I agree with you in that I'm still, every time I see Logan, I'm captivated. Yes. I want Logan. Now, and I was thinking about this while I was watching this movie. I was like, how has he been so praised for so long as being this really great representation of a character?
Mm.
But yet, actually, his movies are crap.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of kind of favourable memory of them. So I think the standout bits that we always refer to, I think they're the things that you remember about Logan and Wolverine and Hugh Jackman. Mm. So like in this film, there's some really good moments of Wolverine. So like at the very start of the film where he protects the Grant, who would go on to be the grandfather, from the kind of atomic bomb circumstance. Yeah. And you see him get really severely burn and you watch him kind of come back to it. And the opening scene of the first film with the kind of montage. And also there's a really great moment that I like, where he's living on the hillside in the Canadian Rockies, where it's kind of Revenant-esque, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's because there's those standout moments
of
Wolverine is why we remember him so fondly. But I think if you actually just remember the third act of this film where he's battling that awful CGI samurai, I think we would think of him as a bit more of a joke. Yeah. I think it's just how we remember it.
But like, no, I agree with you, but I can't think of anything that Wolverine's done himself where I've gone like, that's cringe. It's always setting or the other characters that are cringe. The Wolverine stuff is badass. The scene in this where he just gets the sword right through his belly and it's like, and, like, he's silhouetted and it's like, he's cool. He's Wolverine. He's really bad. And how could you ever betray a character where metal claws come out of their fists?
Yeah.
Not as badass.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I look back on Wolverine as a character really well.
Mm.
His movies not so much because his adversaries are lame-os.
Yeah. It is really interesting, isn't it? Because I would say in general, it is sort of accepted that like Wolverine Origins is crap and the Wolverine doesn't like rate in the pantheon of great superhero movies. Regardless, I know people that really, really like this movie.
Who do you know?
American lads.
Oh. Why?
Why did they like it?
Yeah.
They just, I mean, kind of following the same thing. They felt like it was like badass. And I guess this was an interesting thing I was thinking about as I was watching it. I was like, oh man, are we going to have anything good to say about this? There's no denying that we kind of come to these movies. Like, we ask questions about like, representation, diversity, like we now have come to expect a lot more of our superhero films. If you possess the ability to just revert back to being an 11-year-old kid who loves like crazy action, I can see how being able to divorce yourself from the wider issues of a film, this could be a fun high octane ride. Why not? I don't think anyone can agree that the last bit isn't wretched.
This is not a fun high-octane ride.
It's really
that is exactly
boring.
Like, I love the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it is that, there is no substance here. Mm. It is just, like, muscles, cars, and guns being flown all over the screen.
Yeah.
And I almost sit there laughing at how absurd it is.
Like, I love the Transformers films.
Yeah.
But just, they have no merit in cinema. Mm.
You just want great CGI and a load of things blowing up.
Yeah.
If that's what you're going to make out of a Wolverine movie, then great.
Mm.
This isn't that.
Yeah. But that's why I wonder. So there are two versions of this film. There's the cinematic version and there is one that's rated R. And in that one, apparently the violence is much more visceral. It's very, like, it's just the next level up. The thing that blows my mind is the same director that did this film did Logan. It's the same guy.
Wow.
And I wish now I had watched the rated R version because I bet that...
Huh. What?
Yeah.
What? Now you know.
I bet like that kind of makes a bit of sense to me now. Mm. And man, does it drive home the fact that like there's... I think like script writers and screenwriters don't get enough credit and blame for these films. So... I can't remember what the original point was.
Wolverine
the greatest portrayal of a superhero ever?
What I like to do for these films is also read the critic section of the Wikipedia page so I can regurgitate it to you.
Excellent.
But what I thought was really interesting, so I was expecting it all to be negative reviews because this movie is trash. But one of the positive reviews, obviously Wikipedia's got balance or whatever, said that whilst it might have its flaws, it was really nice to see a superhero film that was just a self-contained story.
Yeah.
And I think actually, if you look at the MCU,
everything's
building up to something. Mm-hmm. Everything's got a plot twist. Everything's got an Easter egg, all that kind of stuff. Whereas it was this, you just saw Wolverine on a mission, in air quotes, or, you know, a chapter in his life. And we haven't really had many of those. We've had some with like the Iron Man trilogy, maybe. I feel like the Captain America trilogy was all just leading up to something much bigger. But I thought, thinking of it in that context, if it was better, I think this could have been a really nice film as part of a set. And we don't really get films from that perspective anymore when they're around superheroes. It's always like, well, what are we going to lead up to? Because we want people to have expectations for the next one.
Yeah,
I think this movie would be looked back a lot more favourably if it hadn't have followed Wolverine Origins. In terms of a standalone Wolverine movie.
That's a good point.
It's like, Wolverine Origins was lame. Maybe this new one will be great. Oh, the new one's lame.
I also think it's... The thing that I thought this film didn't do particularly well was it didn't add a level of style to anything. Mm. So obviously, like, Japan had... And it's very easy to kind of, you know, make cultural missteps. But I think if you look at how that was represented... In contrast to how South Korea was represented in Black Panther. Do you remember when they went into the gambling thing?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
That was South Korea, but through the lens of a really great Black Panther Marvel film. And it was shot really beautifully. Mm. And it had, you know, you think of like all the glass and the lights and all that kind of stuff. I think this is literally like they're going to run through the streets of Japan. And however it physically looks will be fine. Yeah. Like there was no kind of... creating a point of view on that world. It was literally just, we're just going to shoot down whatever street's available in Japan, or we'll go to that hotel because it looks a bit quirky from the outside. There just wasn't any lens of kind of stylistic or quality attached to it, and I think that's the difference for me, is why this film just was a bit meh. Because there was no artistic vision applied to it.
That's really interesting, because for like, I'm not familiar with the storyline, but Logan's time in Japan is a very big part of his character in the X-Men, the X-Men universe. And I know that, like, a lot of people who are big fans of the comic books, that time in Logan's story is really informative on his character. And Mariko is actually someone who comes up again and again in Logan's canon. And so it's a real shame that, that's such an interesting point, that it wasn't treated with more kind of reverence and a sort of, a lens of, like, this is something really important that's happening, not just a mission that he's getting through.
Does that lead me on well to my comic book section?
And I was going to segue there, you know.
you're in the driving seat,
but I'll tell you what, one final point on that before we do. Did you see the news recently that Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart have been awarded Guinness World Record for the longest ever portrayal of a superhero
really?
In cinema? So they are now the current record holders for what it's been, 10 or 15 years since 19 years, 2001, X-Men came out, something like that. So
that's really interesting.
We're talking a long time. Who do you think could possibly beat them, given that Wolverine has hung up their claws?
Well, surely Ian McKellen's knocking on the door right behind them as Magneto.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be Tony Stark.
Yeah, Tony must be getting Robert really close.
I mean, we're at 11 years with him.
Yeah.
It was 2008.
And I imagine he would do a few... What was Stan Lee as himself?
Yeah, he had so many varying
characters.
It's the
record as a superhero.
Okay.
Yeah, so as like a hero, not just in the superhero movies.
I would say Tony's the next contender, really.
And I guess maybe that's what rules Magneto out, because he ain't a superhero.
Villain.
He's a bad guy.
Good point.
Super villain.
Different. Mm. That's a different award. Yeah, interesting. So I think, you know, Captain America is close as well.
Yeah.
But once again, we're straying into Avengers Endgame. <territory. laughs> So I'll stay well away from that.
I'm talking about my comic book.
But absolutely.
Yes.
Anna, very interesting that you were talking about the comic book there.
No.
Because, Martin, those of you who listened to our last episode, our 1-year celebration podcast... You may remember that I gave the team and I gave myself a nice little comic book gift. And Martin, you unwrapped a Wolverine comic book.
Yeah.
The Marvel Pocketbook series.
Yeah.
And this is Wolverine. So yeah. How have you been getting on with your reading journey?
Well, I mean, I found it really interesting watching, because I've never read any of the Marvel comic books. So I found it really interesting.
Our listeners are shocked.
I could never tell. But so for the first time watching a film where I'd actually read the comics was really interesting. And I was like, well, that's not like that. That's not like that. So I've got several things I'd like to share from the Wolverine comic book. Excellent. First one is Yukio, who in the film is the seer with the kind of red fringe. Mm-hmm. In this comic book, she is like badass.
Yeah.
She's like Grace Jones in James Bond, mystique level of like. Ugh. No,
and doesn't she have like black hair?
She's got black, yeah. She's got kind of like short a black, like crew cut almost. Yeah. She's like really 80s, big collars, trench coats, thigh high boots. She's like, nice. She doesn't take any shit from anyone.
Do you think that was fairly represented in the movie?
Absolutely not. What kind of wet, feeble woman who just like follows Wolverine?
Cries a lot.
Yeah, that was not good. So that I thought was interesting, but and also because so the book that you got me is like a compilation of a set of comics that kind of has a narrative running through it.
Okay.
But what I find really funny is that at the start of every comic, Wolverine, he narrates them all, and he always talks about himself, so he always explains who he is and his powers at the start of every comic. But obviously when you're reading four or five of them in succession, it's like, I'm Wolverine. I lost the love of my life. They placed me in adamantium. Now I've got superhero strength. And these bad guys don't have any idea. Sucker punch. And like, we'll get in a bar fight.
I love it.
It's great. But the things that I wanted to highlight out of here, which I thought were absolutely incredible, there was two. So obviously in the comics... are we saying Mariko or Mariko, do you think?
I thought it was Mariko, but I might
Mariko.
Mariko.
Mariko,
yeah.
So Mariko and Wolverine get married.
Oh, yeah.
In the comics. And he invites the X-Men. So the X-Men come to the comics. And this is obviously after Jean's died.
Ooh.
Well, it gets worse, right? So Scott Summers.
Drama.
Obviously, Cyclops.
Who have we got there? Which X-Men are in
okay,
attendance?
There's some that aren't in the... so there's an actual picture of them all looking at the invite, which is also incredible. Let me see if I can find that. But there's quite a few of them. So there's Storm, there's Colossus, there's Kitty, there's Scott Summers, there's Beast... And there is one that I didn't know before. Empress Lilandro?
Fair.
No idea. Yeah.
Okay, so they all get invited to the wedding, right? Jean Grey's dead. Remember, everyone's got to remember that Jean Grey's dead, right?
Jean Grey's dead.
Scott Summers brings along his new girlfriend who looks the same as Jean Grey.
Oh, shit.
No.
So much. So obviously, in the comics, Jean Grey, like, did some bad shit.
Yeah.
So all the X-Men are like, I I'm glad she's gone. I'm still really angry at her.
Yeah.
So she looks so much like Jean Grey.
Scott Summers, you
that when Scott Summers brings her into the room, the X-Men attack her thinking she's Jean
Whoa!
Grey.
Oh my God.
Drama.
And it's literally like, Scott, forgive me, when I saw her, my reaction was automatic. I couldn't help myself.
Who she said looks, that?
Oh my God.
This Empress Elandro. It's like, the Phoenix has risen from the ashes. And then Storm comes a bit late to the party. But
well, she's busy trying to make wind.
But then Storm is like, my goddess, oh my God, I can't believe you're back with us. And then this woman's like, I beg your pardon, I'm not. She's like, I should have realised the effect, this is what Scott Summers says, I should have realised the effect Madeline would have had of everyone had on everyone and warned you beforehand. Can you imagine
the group chat
between X-Men, be like, I'm bringing along my girlfriend. Don't say what you're all thinking. Yeah. It's and then like the last thing you hear from the Madeline, who's the girlfriend, is like the last reference of her, last time you see her in the comic, she's like, just who precisely are these people and what the blazes have you gotten me into?
Blazes.
No.
And I was like, how funny is that? Like, Scott Summers has got some problems. But bringing it back to
nice little like sniper, like classic Wolverine spirit, like, yeah, fuck you, Scott.
So obviously throughout, so imagine all of the things that happened in the Wolverine. So all the protection that Wolverine did of Mariko throughout the whole thing, saved her from death time after time after time. A similar sort of thread throughout the comics. But then at the end of the comics, they get married. So different to the film. Obviously, they're like, oh, you finally defeated my evil grandfather. Now we can finally be together, X, Y, Z. And in the comics, it's a lot more the kind of honor kind of system is played up a lot more. So Wolverine had to kind of kill the grandfather to get a hand in marriage, all this kind of stuff. But the last frame in this comic is so savage.
Savage.
So, like, imagine all the shit that Wolverine's been through, right? He's lost all his powers. He's nearly died. He's pulled off a bug from his heart. All this kind of stuff. So then in this thing, like, they're literally about to get married. And then Mariko goes, actually, the Wolverine will never be worthy. And the last frame is a single tear coming down Wolverine's face.
No!
He got jilted at the altar.
Oh, no.
Look at the little tear on his face.
Oh, my.
Oh, poor Logan.
Pass that round. Pass that scene round.
That absolutely is savage.
Can Wolverine cry?
Apparently.
Is that a thing? Is Wolverine allowed to cry?
It was like... Because obviously I pretty much read it kind of covered to cover. It's not very long, but I was like, wow. That is
wow. are you not going to read next issue romances?
No. Well, that's not in it.
Is it not?
No. The next
they just
one,
leave you
the
fucking
next one,
hanging.
He's got some like anger problems and he just goes to fight the Hulk. Like it's the last comic in it. He just has a fight with the Hulk.
Oh, that's a classic cover. Is that? That is a classic Marvel cover.
Probably
wow.
on canvas.
Just take some pictures of. This
oh yeah, I'll do the crying.
Insta.
The crying Wolverine.
Oh my. Well, what can you say? The guy's heartbroken.
It's really interesting, though, because I was on board with Logan and Mariko's relationship in this movie, to be honest. Like, I mean, she's in a loveless, arranged marriage with this obviously smarmy fiancé guy. And I definitely sort of read their kind of physical relationship as, yeah, why not? Like, they're both attracted to each other. She's into it. Let's just go for it. But... at the same time, up until that point, she had been so completely without any real personality that I couldn't, like... I liked the idea of Logan finally having someone that was helping him move on from this Jean Grey hallucination that was happening. But everything about her, from, like, the first time we meet her, she's crying at her grandfather's bed. She then is getting slapped by her father, and then she tries to throw herself off a cliff, and that is never talked about again. Like, no. Logan saves her, and then no mention of the fact that she just tried to kill herself. Like, what? And then by the end of the movie, she's like all okay with taking on a big tech company. I mean, I know she had like a little empowering moment at the end of the big battle where she stabs her grandfather in the neck with the cut off claws, but come on, like, what?
See, I saw it the other way. So, like, I didn't know why Wolverine was so invested in, like, helping her and saving her and protecting her. Like, he, like, at one point, she's like, no, I'm fine. I'm going off by myself. And he follows her and insists on helping her and then falls in love with her. And I didn't know why he was doing any of this stuff. Yeah. Like, he could have just stayed in wherever the main setting of it was, where the lab was, and figured out how to heal himself. Like, in the priority list, like, I've lost all of my powers.
Yeah.
This is terrible. I need to fix it. Versus, here's a woman who I don't know, who is in a bit of trouble, but has told me she's going to be all right. Mm. I'm going to make the choice to get on the train to follow her. Yeah. I didn't know why he was doing that, apart from she was a woman and he wanted to have sex with her.
I don't know. This was my biggest thing with, like, this whole film. There was so...
He's sniffing. My spider senses. I've been in the Rockies by myself for so long. You're lovely in that kimono.
I got a question here.
Yeah, go on.
Wolverine, Logan, does he always have to be paired with a girl? Every movie, he's got, like, a female counterpart. We go Rogue.
So far.
Up to this point. Yeah. We go Rogue. And then in the first Wolverine movie, he has his sort of love interest. I can't remember her name, actually.
Silver Fox.
Silver Fox. That kind of double crosses him.
Mm.
in this movie, we've got two. We've got Mariko and Yukio. And then we know in the next movie, which we've not watched yet, but we know in the next movie, he's also got a female counterpart as well. And it just feels like a recurrent trend for Wolverine. Do you think that's something that is part of his character or is just part of how he's being written?
Well, I think it is something that's part of his character. I think he does have this kind of protector side of him. Like, he does seem like someone who wants to take care of someone. And I think actually seeing that is kind of important, because in so many ways he kind of comes off, well, he is this big, invulnerable man, literally, cannot be hurt. And so him kind of aligning himself to these, I'm sorry, weaker female characters kind of gives him the means by which to be hurt and to be vulnerable. So maybe it is sort of like an easy storytelling trope to kind of have that direct correlation. But not so much in this one, but like with Rogue, and then talk about it more in Logan, when it is more of a protector side of things, I do like seeing that. I like seeing him use his might and his invulnerability to protect something outside of himself. I think it works.
And he's not portrayed in the same way that James Bond is portrayed, where it's literally like, how quickly can I get this woman?
Yes.
with maybe the exception of Mariko.
Yeah.
But generally, he's I don't think he's a misogynist.
No, I wouldn't say so, no.
He maybe looks down on women slightly. It's just like he knows best, all that kind of stuff. But
maybe.
I don't see him in the same way as I see James Bond, but who is always accompanied by a female accomplice as well.
It is a shame that we haven't seen him interact with someone who he considers his equal in the right way. Like, because Jean was a love interest. My understanding of his relationship with Storm in the comics, whatever, he does really respect her and sees her as a team leader. So it would be so nice to see that in some capacity, him like actually having a relationship with a woman that wasn't a caregiver, protector, love interest type thing. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, on the flip side, any guy that he's interacted with outside of
That's a good point.
Professor Xavier has been like adversary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like Scott Summers, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then it's Sabretooth, fuck you. And then in this one, it's like evil dad, granddad, company owners. It's like all of you. Even the Harada, who's like kind of, he's blurring lines anyway, but he's also like, fuck you as well.
Apart from at the start of the film where he did protect the granddaddy.
Yeah,
on the black.
Wolverine that's protect. True. That's fine. He did a thing. He did a little protection there.
Yeah.
Can we talk about? So, the Japanese, like the granddaddy's plan, was to.
I had no idea. I the double crossing.
Sorry,
the,
I'm just snacking on no, the no, spins. By the way,
go for it.
That's what I really struggled with everyone's
so
motive.
So, like, what was Viper doing? Like, why was she there? I think Viper should have been entirely cut out of the film. She was so unnecessary.
Because I didn't realize what. So in the film, Wolverine wakes up and Viper is like snogging him with his tongue in the mouth.
The IMDb plot points for this movie are regeneration, self healing, healing power, Marvel Comics, leggy woman.
Oh no!
They are the top five plot points.
Wow. It was interesting seeing every time that she showed up on screen, she had an increasingly like villainous outfit happening.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, she dialed up the emerald.
Yeah. And then she went.
So you thought she was terrible?
Horrible.
Awful.
I thought she was terrible as well.
Okay, good.
A bit sexy?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Cool. Like, is that the tongue or?
I just don't think
combination
my type.
Of factors.
Okay.
Not a fan of reptiles. Not gonna lie. I don't think my type, and I think as well, there was just something very, like, very villainous about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the off, you were like, spot the villain!
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there she is, that's the villain.
Anyone who doesn't, like, greet a superhero with a smile and a hello, but gives him, a look across a room, you're a villain.
Yeah.
But So when she snogged him to what I presume is when she put in the robot thing to steal his powers from his heart.
Yeah, or to mute his power. Like, I my understanding was it was to mute his powers to make him vulnerable so they could capture him, to cut off his claws, to drill into his bone marrow, to get
his healing power.
Yeah.
So when did they implant the robot thing?
I think she was snogging him. Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't get that. Okay. So then when he laid down, it was like, I've got a vision of you laying down with your heart in your hands, yeah. which we didn't see, which is maybe in the R version.
Maybe, yeah.
I was like, when did they put this kind of robot frog thing in there in his body?
I think it must have been then, because it's sort of after that that we start his healing powers, because it goes straight from that pretty much to the funeral, and that's when it starts to but it's very unclear.
So I didn't get that, and then I didn't understand the fiance's aims. I didn't understand the grandfather's aims, and I didn't understand Viper's aims. I didn't understand what each of them wanted.
Viper wanted money.
Okay, so she's just there as like this is a job.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, I think she was being paid by the granddad for her abilities to make toxins and stuff with her tongue.
But then Japanese Hawkeye, Harada, was on the granddad's side too. But then there was a point where she was like spitting poison on him.
Harada was on like the family side.
Okay.
So he is there to look after the interests of the family.
Yeah.
But I think the Viper stuff with the grandfather was not necessarily an open secret with the family. I think that was something
he flitted between what side he was on.
Okay.
And then at the end, we definitely saw, I think once he realized what had been happening, he was like, oh, shit, right, okay, so I'm going to jump down now and try and help.
And get killed rapidly.
Right at the last minute. Like, cheers, Harada.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for making things really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And then, so I feel like all of Viper could have been lifted out, potentially. Also, like, Yukio, I was really disappointed that she didn't seem to serve any purpose whatsoever.
She didn't do a whole lot
either.
Of fighting, did she?
No. And it was really frustrating, because, like, right at the beginning, when you see, when he's getting, like, introduced to, he's, like, walking through the compound where the grandfather is and everything, and you see the Mariko's father is doing some, like, sword fighting, and they look at him, and Wolverine's like, well, he seems good, and she's like, he's all right.
Yeah.
And he soundly beats her, like, when they have their fight. And then, that was really disappointing.
Because she could have been really... Have you both seen Kill Bill?
Yeah.
In the first one? What is that kind of... She's, like, dressed like a schoolgirl, and she's got...
Go-Go.
Do you remember Go-Go? And she's got that kind of spinny thing with the spikes on.
Like, so good.
Not dressed as a schoolgirl, but all of the characteristics of that character would have been a really great way to do her as a really formidable samurai, like she is.
Comics. I think that's the thing. She was not formidable whatsoever. No. I quite liked her. I liked her character outside of that. I've got to be honest. Like, I liked that she was a little bit cheeky. That she clapped back to Wolverine a few times. And
I certainly didn't mind that.
I thought they had a good rapport.
I would have liked more of that. Like more of like some level of connection that
she reminds me very much of, like, how we're starting to see characters portrayed, like, in the Deadpool movies, where it's like a bit of a sidekick kind of, but is there for a little bit of sort of,
well, she is in Deadpool, isn't she? Deadpool 2,
is she?
I think I see, I haven't seen all of Deadpool 2. I'm pretty sure she is Warhead's girlfriend.
I don't remember.
No, I
could
don't
have
know.
Been asleep
doesn't,
in that one as
doesn't
well.
Matter.
Sorry.
Doesn't matter. So, okay, so that was like another element that I didn't quite understand. Like her seer predictor abilities. I find that really frustrating when this kind of, I don't want to talk about Avengers too much, but I'm just going to say Endgame. We talked about it in a previous podcast where, okay, maybe there isn't jeopardy for these characters because we know there's something else for them. We know the next movie's coming on. But there's emotional jeopardy. There's this emotional resonance where you're really worried something's going to happen that's going to hurt them emotionally. You cannot pose the threat of Wolverine dying. I'm sorry. I'm just never going to get on board with it. It has to be something else. If it was like, if I don't fix myself, if I don't heal myself in time, I'm going to lose the woman I love, which I'm assuming that's what they were trying to play on. But the threat of, like, I saw you die, it's like, yeah, well, maybe. You know, I don't believe
something
you.
Something tells me you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
a sixth contract.
predictions make me feel that Wolverine is not going to die.
Yeah. Exactly. And certainly not at this point in the film.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what bothered me the most about her character was that you kind of got some vague things about her seeing abilities, like, early on. And then that was supposed to be played to emotional heft. I've seen you die. Like, I've seen you with your heart in your hand. You die. And she's so upset about it. And it's like, you haven't earned my trust or my... There's nothing about your relationship with Wolverine that I am now emotionally invested by how much this must be painful for you to see. Like, it's obviously cutting you up that you've seen this guy you care about die.
But you've not known each other for long enough. You don't have any sort of connection with each other.
So I found that really frustrating as well.
But it's like all these things that we didn't get from the film. It's like, what took up so much space in the film?
That's such a good question.
That we didn't get these moments, like the train scene where they're fighting on the roof of a really high speed bullet train. Yeah. Like that went on for ages.
So long.
Like, how many times are you gonna watch them jump and duck? It was like being in like a computer game.
This is one of those. There's that famous scene at the end of like Fast and Furious 5 or 6, I think, where it's on an airport runway, and the fight scene with the cars and everything is happening as the plane's taking off. And the scene is like 5 minutes long. And someone did the maths and they're like, that runway would have been 40 miles long. Like, seriously, for that to have happened. And I feel like it's the same with this train line. Like, that train line going through that city, like, it travels at 300 miles an hour. That fucking city must have been like 30 miles wide for them to just be going in a straight line through like built up urban areas. Yeah. Like, if they'd have popped out in a countryside or something, then I'd been like, oh, okay, that's fine.
I mean, you gotta say, you have to like admire the dedication of the Yakuza guys, because it's not like they have superhero healing. Yeah. Like, at what point do you find yourself about to have to go on the outside of a bullet train and be like, I'm still gonna try to get that?
He'll have to come back in eventually. He'll need a wee. I'll just everyone stand by the toilets.
Yeah. When the train finishes, and go back. Yeah. Like, when the train stops, let's just go surround the girl.
Yeah.
Like, she just sat there with her headphones in, like, having a lovely time. And he's been, like, popping off on the roof.
Yeah.
No.
Crazy. Right, what did you like about this movie?
I really liked the first bit where he saved the guy from the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
And I really liked just seeing him in the wild. Mm. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, very similar to, like, I feel like we just get that scene in every friggin' Wolverine.
Is there much else I liked? I really didn't like... Don't think I liked... any of the action bits. I didn't like the bullet train bit. I didn't like the samurai fight at the end. That was stupid.
With the silver samurai.
Yeah. What about the bit with the bow and arrows? Oh. Where he's walking through the village.
Gets shot up.
And he's got like a back full of arrows. And he's like...
But for me, that's another strategy. One of those moments which could be really cinematic and like amazingly shot and artistically directed, but it wasn't, it just
existed.
I mean, that image of him with all the arrows in his back, I'm pretty sure that is like a like for like translation from a comic book. So yeah, there should have been something that felt more impactful about it. I actually kind of like the fight between Wolverine and Mariko's father, like when for whatever reason the stab in the neck with the viper venom didn't kill him. He's like shown up again, and they like, it's Wolverine's just gotten his healing abilities back, the dad's killed the defeated Yuriko, and then or Yukio, and then Wolverine and him fight. I did like that, and that Wolverine decided not to kill him. He's like, you tried to kill your daughter, live with that, and then walks off, and then you know, has to do him, obviously, because he attacks him again. I thought that was nicely shot. The dark, it was darkness without being too dark. Shirtlessness was nice as well, but there was something very visceral about that fight that I actually did quite enjoy. And I liked that Mariko's father, he's not a mutant. It's just his skills, his incredible training that he's bringing to bear. And he probably could have beat Wolverine in slightly different circumstances. And I like that.
He beats him initially in the comics.
Yes, yeah.
What did you think about the CGI between young
gross.
And old? Do you remember
that
doesn't
gross.
Make any sense either. Like, if he stole Wolverine's healing power, it doesn't send him back in time. It just would heal whatever was wrong with him, and he'd be like a well-preserved whatever age he was.
That was really odd.
Oh, so odd.
Yeah, it was just weird for them to do that as well.
Like, I just didn't understand how we got to the end scene and what everyone was trying to achieve. I just didn't understand
I guess then your argument is like, if... I can understand the argument, but it's to say if Wolverine is... has got healing powers, surely it heals him to when he's in his prime, right?
Okay, yeah. So
is he... Or when he got them, when he got the powers?
Well, that's the question, yeah. Right? But he's a mutant.
Yeah. He's not a little boy.
He's
that
born a mutant, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess it takes that guy back to when he was in the army, potentially. Is that guy's prime? So that's his physical fitness. So is that what it's healing him back to? It's a really straw man argument. And I think anyone here would like, actually, in issue 543.
But it's a shame, really, because actually I would have liked to have seen, I thought it was a really interesting idea. Like, I'm offering you this. Because I think we've talked in the podcast before, like, if Wolverine could take the cure, would he? And we said adamantly that we think that he would.
Yeah.
And to actually be offered this, I liked the idea that Wolverine was like, well, if it's a trade, you don't want what I've got. I wouldn't give this to anyone. But I would have really liked to have seen him really...
Just think about it for a bit.
Yeah, being like, I could be with Jean. Like, he's got this hallucination that's constantly be like, be with me. And he seems so happy and content when he's, like, dreaming of her. To have that be his battle throughout the film, but a big portion, and then he has to make the choice to, no, you can't have my powers. I'm going to stay the way I am. That would have been so much more impactful. I would have really liked that.
So, well...
What did you like about this film, Dan? Tell me.
I like the...
You like the nap you had in the middle.
I like the nap. I like the... You know what I did? I got this olive flatbread. Not olive flatbread.
Well, let's not talk about more food. Olive, what did you like about the film, Dan?
That I toasted up in the middle, had with a cup of tea. It was nice. But I really like... Have you seen the bonus ending? Like the alternative ending?
The alternative ending?
In the jet where Yuriko... Yukio, sorry. We both made the same.
Sorry.
Where Yukio gives him his classic Wolverine suit.
Okay, in what scenario would Logan ever put that thing on?
But have you seen how good it looks?
The yellow one.
Yeah. Like yellow.
I mean, it's like a muted mustard. Like
it looks so good. Like, all I want is that. Yeah. I just want that. We'll never get it, but.
Yeah. I wouldn't have minded that. Like, kind of leaving open-ended.
Can
like...
you go as Wolverine to Comic-Con?
I could do a Wolvie. I'd love to do a Wolvie. Yeah. But I cannot be topless, unfortunately.
I know you're all... to the gym.
I know you're all desperate to see
could
me.
Could you do Wolverine Lost
out.
In the Woods?
I could definitely,
got the beard.
I could definitely do, like, a Logan's just walked out of the woods and walked.
Yeah, you could do, like, full-on Logan.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good.
What was he like at the start? What does he say to the guy who's killed the bear? He says something really badass to him.
I like that scene. I mean, it's a bit over the top. You hurt my bear friend. Or you killed my bear friend. But when he...
Let me buy you a drink.
Yeah.
And then he just like...
stabs him.
Arrow in
that
hand.
That was cool. I actually really like that scene.
And then I really like when Yukio showed up as well and he's like, cuts everything. And then the guy falls off the chair. It has...
Yeah.
The start of this movie's all right.
It's the same
start
with Origins.
The start of this movie's fine. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, they sort of set us up for what it's
This is
going to
be good. This is going to be better than I remembered. Oh, wait. No, it's not.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Wait, one quick question, though.
Oh.
Where is this movie? I meant to look this up.
Timeline.
Yes. So, is First
After
Class...
The Last Stand.
This is set multiple years after The Last Stand.
Okay.
Where the X-Men is pretty much donezo.
Okay.
And Wolverine slunked off to just feel sorry for himself.
And then the post credits.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But okay.
Because that places it in the timeline, I think.
Yes, you're right. But more, I was thinking, so had First Class been released by this point?
No.
I think it might have been.
I don't know.
I'll Google it.
You get the Google box.
Yeah. Also, can you double check to make sure I am correct about the same director being Logan, because y'all's reaction made me doubt myself, but I am.
So this one was
John Marigold.
Directed by John Mangold.
Yeah.
And you went to check
the
other
one. Marigold?
I did say Marigold.
Get names wrong.
Yep, you're correct.
Excellent.
On that.
Good.
John Cleaning Gloves.
So the Wolverine was released in 2013.
Oh, I think that is after First Class, isn't it? I'm almost positive.
First Class was in 2011.
Shit. That's crazy. But it kind of makes sense. Again, we'll come on to that later.
So it's important to say that we're not doing the films chronologically. Yes. We're doing them in three of three.
Yes, we did bundle the Wolverine movies together because we wanted to do the newest iterations in the lead up to Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
So, before the next episode, the next episode is we're going to review X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Your book present was...
Wait, we're going to do Logan, aren't we?
Oh,
shit. Yeah. We literally just...
God damn, I'm so excited to get back to X-Men movies. I know
oh, come
Logan's
on, Logan's going to be good.
I know it's decent, yeah, but yeah. I just...
No, I hear you, I hear you.
We'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Logan's next.
But Logan's... No. Oh, my God. What?
I thought it was Logan and then Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel comes out in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, right? No. So, yes, you're right. Sorry.
So the next episode our listeners will listen to...
Is...
I'm very sorry, listeners. We should have our
I know,
our
we really should.
Together,
I really apologize. Right? I meant to post this out. But no, the next one that our listeners are going to hear is going to be Captain Marvel.
Yo.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So let's not talk about that. Let's just save that hype train.
Okay.
But,
choo-choo, I'm already on it.
Let's
half a beer.
Let's put that on a thing. Let's stab that in the... throw very quickly
with some viper venom.
Oh yeah. The next X universe movie we'll be watching is Logan.
Yes.
Then after that,
first class.
But the point I was originally getting to was your comic book present was Days of Future Past.
Twas.
So you need to make sure you're bringing the X-Men, the Wolverine Tears level of analysis.
You bet.
On that comic, and you've got what, like 3 movies to go.
So long, too. I've got weeks and weeks.
And then I've got Dark Phoenix, so I've got like the hefty book right at the end.
Oh yeah,
it's worked out perfectly for me. But this movie has happened. It's been and gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever watch it again.
No.
But Anna, for you, does it stay or does it go? Come on, you know the answer.
I
don't
know.
Be like, I'm going to change my mind.
I know. You know, I was open to my mind being changed, but no, it goes. It goes.
Sorry, Hugh Jackman. You just lost your Guinness World Record. Martin.
At this point in 2013, in where we are with how far Marvel and superhero films in general have come, this film is a travesty.
A travesty?
This film.
A travesty?
This film is an insult to all the other superhero films that have gone before it. Not only... Not because it's terrible, because it's mediocre.
Hmm.
It is unrealistically complicated.
Yeah.
It is stylistically uninspired. And... It does a disservice to every single woman that's in it. And almost makes me not like the Wolverine, the character.
Wow.
Of all the films we've watched throughout season 1 and season 2, this is a film I think that should just never have existed.
Would you... Right, okay. You have to watch it for 24 hours straight.
Oh my God.
Wolverine, the Wolverine, Wolverine Origins... Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Doctor Strange.
Which one would I pick?
Yeah.
You've got to watch one of them for 24 hours straight.
Doctor Strange.
Wow.
Full.
above Guardians 2.
Yeah.
Full of piss.
Because Guardians.
full of piss.
Guardians 2, this one, and Origins are just. They're just boring.
Yeah.
They're complicated and boring, and it's that combination where they're making you work hard and not rewarding you.
Yeah.
That's the most frustrating thing. Like, this one was so complicated.
What is it at the end of Doctor Strange? I've come to make a deal, Dormammu, where he just repeats the same shit over and over.
Yeah, that'd be me.
That'd be you
making a deal with time. Dormammu out of this podcast.
I'm here to make a deal.
Dan, stay or go.
Ah, fuck it off. Yeah. It's crap.
Yeah.
It's bad, but I don't feel... I take on your points. All of your points are valid. And I don't disagree with you. But I think my level of anger at those points is less than yours.
Mm.
I think that the movie's like... It's like Netflix level. It's what will be on the action category on Netflix.
There's some great Netflix movies. I'm sorry.
Not saying what Netflix have produced.
Oh.
But I mean, like, you know when you're flicking through Netflix and you're on like the action category and you're like, I really don't want to watch any of these. They're all just like wet.
This film is the equivalent of when your auntie buys you a Christmas present from a high street shop you never go into, but is fine, is inoffensive. Mm. It's like a nice pair of socks from a shop you'll never ever go into.
What shops would you never go into?
So like, I always get Neck socks for Christmas. Oh. I'm probably wearing Neck socks now. Next is fine. The socks are fine.
It'll do.
Is it the basis of my entire outfit? No.
Wow. And you'd say you'd never go into Next?
No. Unless I was buying a present for my auntie.
Well, there goes our sponsorship from Next. Yeah, no, I think I agree with your point.
Debenhams. This film is Debenhams.
I'd rather watch this movie than watch Wolverine Origins.
Really?
Really?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah.
But you've got Gambit, you've got Ryan Reynolds.
I fell asleep in that one as well.
Oh, do you know what? If you don't stay awake for any more of these films, you're not coming.
Yes. What do you mean, I'm not coming?
I mean, you literally script it, record it, and also edit it.
Great.
You can come, but you can't say anything.
I'll just stay here silent, right, and we'll go. What would it sound like? Do you want to do the intro next time, Martin?
Bow.
Not that intro. Well, hello. You can do the, I'll tell you what, you do the music, you do that, and Anna can pretend to be me, or vice
hello.
Versa.
Hello.
Let's start. Is that all that you know me for, is saying the word hello? Do you know the next words?
My friend...
Welcome.
It's and welcome.
And welcome, sorry.
My friend described us all on the podcast. He said, oh, there's that really chirpy American girl. Yes. There's you, the obnoxious gay man. And then they went, and Dan is a Yorkshire man? And he literally put like the three dots in between each one.
Great. So, well...
Here we go.
That's me. I'm here.
We're so glad you are, Dan.
We are, and Dan. You're the linchpin. You're the glue that holds this whole operation together.
Too true.
You describe everything as the glue that holds things together. It's like your template compliment. It doesn't mean anything.
You are the Wolverine of our podcast.
Oh, great. Absolutely.
Excellent. You're so always like, there. You've got the long-standing service award or whatever it was.
So I'm good, but my scripting shit. That's what you're saying.
Like, my memory of you is great, but when I experience it in real life.
What? Okay, fine. I take the point. We'll make some changes. We'll come with a better script and we'll see if next time we're any better. I'll definitely stay awake next time, hopefully. Logan really weirds me out as a movie, so I'm really excited for that to happen again. We'll be back in a fortnight's time.
Hell yeah.
For Anna.
Captain Marvel.
And will that be in our normal release schedule or will it be outside of our...
It's going to be outside. So that will be released on Jesus Christ. Oh, God, yeah. I can't believe February is almost over. That will be released on the 12th of March.
So that's a couple of days after the movie's come out, right?
Yeah, so...
We're really going to hit that one hard.
Yeah, so that one... So we've got International Women's Day, Captain Marvel dropping on us March 8th. And
that's some good programming.
Yeah, it is. Disney. Well done. Jeez. Well done, one and all. And then we're going to drop...
And all of the early reviews of that movie coming out are, like, hot.
So excited.
So my excitement level is, like...
Through the roof.
You can't see what Dan's doing, but he's raising his arm.
It's very high.
As high as it can go.
I'm going to actually, for our listeners now, I'm giving us a little bit of leeway because it is a quick turnaround. It's definitely going to be less than a week. The week.
So you know what, listeners? If you've just gone to see Captain Marvel in the cinemas and you're thinking, where can I get some hot takes on that?
Yeah.
Open up.
Reddit. Right here. Open Reddit.
Open like Reddit or something. I don't know. Yeah. Twitter, anything. But maybe to accompany your scrolling, you could get a little bit of this in your ears. So nice. Remember, if you're listening to one on iTunes, go hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to us on Spotify, I think there's just a follow button.
Yep.
Any other podcast services, do whatever they command you to do.
We're on all them. Stitcher, Heart.
Hit us with some reviews. Follow us on our Instagram.
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Follow us on our own personal social media channels. Anna, where can listeners find you?
On Instagram, on a marvelous 2 N's 2 L's.
Twitter and Instagram, Martin Loves.
And I'm at DVM Preston, pretty much wherever you want to find me. That concludes our long summary of The Wolverine. And
do you know what, though? I think we've done some really good dissecting and thematic analysis in this one.
Oh, great. Well done.
Well done, one edit.
Pat on back.
You know, I mean, I've not listened to it back, and sometimes they're different from how it sounds in my head.
For example, Anna's one-minute roundup in the last movie referred to Wade Wilson as
Wild
Wason.
Yeah.
Oh, the Wild Wason, the Wild Wild Wason.
Do you remember the Wild Wason? But absolutely, we love hearing from you, and we want to hear from you more. So please get in touch, and please subscribe, and we will see you next time. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. I can't remember if there was a post credit.
There definitely
there was.
There was
a post credit. And was there one? No, there was one because I waited for a second.
I did
like
too.
An idiot. Yeah.
Just go fast forward.
So, it's very difficult on.
Oh, like, you're on DVD, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, right off the bat, you've got the airport scene. Well, it's the airport scene. Logan's going through the metal detectors. Everything starts shaking. What does it mean? Magneto. And then you get Charles Xavier's entrance in the longest wheel in history.
There's got to be a YouTube cut of that somewhere where it just keeps showing you it from different angles forever.
It's
he's like
unbelievable.
Skidding in.
It's so funny. It's just like, oh, now go this way. Oh, no, around that guy. No, okay, getting closer. Now this way. It's unreal. It's unreal how long it is.
And it's also like Wolverine doesn't walk towards him to greet him either. Like, if you've not seen your friend for ages, you'd be like, oh, you're right.
He does think he's dead, though.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, Charles, great to see. It's like, oh, I literally saw you've got blown.
You
wouldn't
just literally stand
pieces.
There watching a person, like, wheel in and out of, like strangers and be like.
He was, like, going through the fucking crystal maze. It was unbelievable.
Going through the fucking crystal maze. Jesus wept. Does that get you all hyped for, at this point, the next movie would be X-Men Days of Future Past?
So that's what they're alluding to, isn't it? That they've had to come back.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I am super psyched to see that movie. I mean, this is jumping ahead, obviously, several films, but I have such fond memories of this movie.
Too.
I was excited when this, like, the post-credit was setting up for that, because I was like, yes, looking forward to that.
In my head, Days of Future Past is very purple.
Yeah. Yes. It's really purple.
Very purple.
For me too.
Mm. It is really purple, though. Mm. Sentinels. Purple.
Are they purple?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Very
and Blink.
Purple.
There's a lot of purpleness happening there.
Right. Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone. We will see you very soon for
Please
our review
back.
Of Captain Marvel. And we will also be seeing you very soon again after that for our review of Logan.
Woo.
So have a wonderful time between now and then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.